You're listening to the Mental Mistakes Blogcast, the place to learn from the mistakes of others because you can't live long enough to make them all on your own. I handpick some of my favorite business execs and professionals to find out what they would do differently if they could go back in time. Short, sweet, and to the point, I'm Melissa Lakshi, and thanks for listening. Welcome back, Mental Mistakes listeners. This is Melissa, and today I have someone who I think is super duper awesome. It's Erica Hall from Mule Studios. Hi, Erica. Thank you so much for joining.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Yeah, this is for those of you in the design community. I'm sure you've heard of Erica. You guys are just killing it. Mule's like, you guys are like one of the biggest design studios in America, and you know, you've even said so yourself, you kind of just like fell into internet things, right?
Oh, me personally?
Yeah,
because I had a philosophy degree and didn't want to be a lawyer, so
yeah. And you know, so philosopher turned designer, more importantly researcher, and that kind of funnels through everything that you do, helps you make decisions on your design, right? Essentially.
I mean, absolutely. I just come from a perspective of you just have to look at everything around you all the time. And you'll always, like, people are always looking for inspiration or intuition or something. And it's really just about keeping your eyes open.
Yeah. And not on your screens all the time.
Yeah. not on your screen. That's a really, really good point, because whenever we just try to take a little comparative review or, you know, look at our clients' competition, if we just look at what exists online, it's invariably kind of disappointing. And I think that's where things get really flat and kind of me too, because people just look at what other people are doing mm-hmm. in a really narrow space.
Yeah. Then when you get out to the world, you're like, whoa, there are people doing weird and cool things. Let's learn more about this.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's no real boundary between online and offline right now, even though there still is in a lot of businesses. You know, if you work with a big client, like a large corporation or even a smaller nonprofit, a lot of times they'll have the internet online people and then the offline people or the direct mail people. And then maybe they'll have the real world event people, and they treat them as all these different things, even though when you're out in the world, you know, this is probably true for you, that, you know, if you go to a store, you'll look at the store's website, you'll be in the store, maybe you'll go to an event, and they're all the same thing. They're all part of like one experience, but people really treat them very differently.
Yeah. But they're all essentially people behind everything. So yeah, I know a lot of people like, and now people are finally realizing to design for people first. And it's kind of fascinating that it hasn't been brought up much earlier. But yeah, you bring up a good point there. So Erica, what do you love most about what you do now?
Two things about it. One, I love that I've now been doing it for such a long time that certain things that used to be difficult have actually gotten a lot easier. And the other part of it is dealing with the people, because you know, it's really easy for designers to talk about the artifacts and the process. But what it comes down to is being able to help people make good decisions. Like that's what design is. And it doesn't matter how good your sort of technical skills are if you can't get the best thinking out of the people you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
And people are so fascinating.
Yeah, super. How do you like to get you mentioned something like getting the best thinking out of the people you're working with. How do you tend to do that?
Well, you have to start by really understanding them. And, you know, the word empathy is really getting tossed around a lot now. Mm-hmm. And I'd say even before trying, because empathy is a hard thing. And I'd say even before trying to really empathize with somebody, you should just try to understand them. And I feel like that's a first step that gets skipped. Like there's this idea that you really have to feel what your customers feel or what people out in the world feel. And it's like, first start by understanding, you know, the people you're working with on your team or your clients. And then maybe you can start to think about how they feel about things, but you really have to think, well, what's important to them? What are they afraid of? What do they really hope happens? And you can't talk to anybody until you know those things about them. Like, what's their ego situation like? What are they afraid of? You know, and once you get a handle on those things, then you can explain the work or the task at hand or what you need from them or how you're going to approach a problem in terms that really make sense to them.
Yeah. Well, even just, you know, speaking about empathy and stuff that makes how you can speak to even yourself, it kind of goes down to like the $1 million question. The reason why we're here is if you, Erica, could go back in time when you were just discovering like internet things were happening, you end up working like almost accidentally for these design studios. If you could just whisper to yourself, your younger self, and just one bit of advice, what would that be?
Oh, wow. That's a really hard one. Gosh, I'd say just don't be afraid of asking for things, even as much, 'cause I look back and there are many times when I'm like, wow, I did a pretty good job of putting myself in good situations and getting interesting work. But I think even more so, you know, that it doesn't hurt to ask. And really don't feel, you know, 'cause it comes from that imposter syndrome place about, oh, you know, everybody else doing these cool things is so much cooler and smarter than I am. And I think especially like when you're young or just coming out of college, it's really easy to have that.
Yeah.
Just not to have that. just get on in there.
Get on in there. Did you feel like you had that?
The imposter bit or the getting on in there bit. It's really both, because I think, you know, I don't like dichotomies, you know, I don't like the introvert extrovert dichotomy. I don't like the right brain left brain dichotomy, because I think they oversimplify complex situations and they kind of set people against one another. It's really fun and satisfying, I think it can be, to say like, oh, I'm an introvert, so I'm this way. But I think the actual truth is that people can have aspects of different traits or different mindsets in themselves. You know, like sometimes the same person can be very confident in certain situations and then feel very insecure or out of place in other situations. And to think about how to take that feeling of being really comfortable and experience it more broadly, like be able to apply that everywhere and not just think like, oh, I have imposter syndrome. It's like, well, maybe sometimes in certain situations, but sometimes, you know, you can go in and feel like, oh, you know, I feel a lot of mastery, and it might not be in a situation that you necessarily know more about. It's just a situation where like you think of yourself as belonging there.
Yeah. No, this is awesome. Thank you so much. Now, I think this is really helpful. And I know a lot of people who, you know, those who are listening to this are kind of all going through their own little things and want to know like what everyone else is doing. And so for, you know, thank you for the advice of just get in there, ask questions, don't be afraid. I know I'm afraid to ask questions all the time. And I guess, you know, put into that dichotomy, I'm fairly extroverted. But, you know, I sometimes it's like, oh, I'm not worthy. And, you know, even Erica Hall, one of the greats, was, you know, afraid to step in there. And here you are, just like, hey, I was scared. And, you know, asking questions helps. So thank you so much. Yeah. Erica, if people wanted to follow you, what's the best place for them to find you or see what you're up to?
Oh, Twitter. On Twitter. I don't answer email. I don't. I write sometimes, but then I get busy. But yeah, I'm Mule Girl on Twitter, and that's the best place.
Okay, follow Mule Girl on Twitter, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
Like what you learned today? Tweet it out with the hashtag MenoMistakes. I'm @Molissa, and you can find me at menodesign.com.